Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And of course, our text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Leave us your texts and voicemails about anything and everything Bulls and NBA related. Didn't get to mailbag on Wednesday when Jordan and I were on the mics together, so I will get to some mailbag content on the back end of today's show to steer you into your weekend. Bulls have a nationally televised game tonight, believe it or not. Bulls, Sixers in Philly. But, I mean, who wants to watch the national broadcast when you can hear the amazing Stacey King on our NBC Sports Chicago broadcast? Just a little plug for you right there. So I thought I'd just give a couple of thoughts on this difficult matchup the Bulls are facing in the front end of their back-to-back. They're back home playing against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday. So it'll be a tough turnaround and certainly a tough task to beat this team in Philly. The Sixers, 26-16 on the season, and most of that success has come on their home floor. They are 19-2. At home. So obviously they have had their struggles on the road. But in Philly, that team is very difficult to beat, just about as good at home as Jimmy Butler and his Miami Heat have been this season. They are, of course, playing without their star center, Joel Embiid, who is still on the shelf, nursing his way back to health from that ligament injury in his left hand. But they do have the services of one veteran big man by the name of Al Horford, who, of course, was a big move for the Sixers this past offseason. They let Jimmy go. They steal Al Horford away from Boston. And he has, along with Tobias Harris, collectively filled in pretty well in the absence of Embiid. Tobias Harris was the big star for Philly in their most recent game when on Wednesday night they beat the Brooklyn Nets, and Tobias Harris poured in 34 points. Of course, the Bulls will have their hands full with Ben Simmons as well, a versatile, dangerous point guard who has that amazing combination of ball handling and his passing ability, the length, the speed, the athleticism. He's a tough guard. I would guess, knowing Jim Boylan, that and knowing who he has at his disposal, that Chris Dunn will draw that first assignment on one Ben Simmons, and we'll see if Chris Dunn, with Simmons' length, can keep himself out of early foul trouble, because if he does get himself into early foul trouble, that that could make things go south quickly for the Bulls. We've seen Jim Boylan turn to Shaq Harrison if and when Dunn does get himself into foul trouble to try and slow down some of these, you know, point forward kind of players that the Bulls have to face every once in a while. And I would assume that that would be who gets the call if Dunn does get himself into foul trouble. But at least the Bulls will be, you know, benefiting from the absence of Embiid, who certainly has worked the Bulls. Although it's interesting that in his, you know, still fairly early NBA career, the Bulls have not seen all that much of Embiid because of him sitting out various games for rest or rehabbing various injuries. The Bulls have not played that often against Embiid, especially in this rebuild that we are now 2.5 seasons into. But You know, even without Embiid, it will still be difficult to slow down this this Philly offense that is very successful. You know, you mentioned I mentioned how well Tobias Harris has been playing, and Embiid's absence has certainly stepped up, including knocking down some big threes. And between that, Horford, Simmons, of course, running the show. Josh Richardson has given them some nice games. Furkan Korkmaz has surprisingly been pretty nice for them off the bench on some nights. I think he had a 15-point game in their win against Brooklyn on Wednesday. So how will the Bulls try to slow down this Philly team, and will we see more of Jim Boylan's rigid blitzing packages on defense? Because Simmons getting into that pick-and-roll action will be tough to slow down, and the Sixers are a well-coached team by Brett Brown, and I would guess will have plenty of success passing their way out of Boylan's trap defense. They're also pretty solid in transition, so the Bulls have got to be disciplined getting back on defense tonight. And especially, you know, it started to creep in a little bit again, as I've noticed the last few games. The Bulls at the beginning of the season were having issues with this. They fixed it up a little bit, but it started to come back. Not even getting back in transition defense after a made bucket, which is just inexcusable. You know, if your opponent gets a long rebound and they get out in transition quickly, failing to get back on defense is a bit more forgivable. But I have noticed on a handful of occasions over the last week or so worth of games that the Bulls have once again started to get a little bit sloppy and a little bit lazy and are giving up transition buckets even after they make buckets. So against this Philly team on their home floor, the Bulls will have no room, no margin of error of that kind, just because of how good they are executing their offense. The Bulls, of course, still without Wendell Carter Jr. and now also without Daniel Gafford, who went down with a dislocated thumb in their game earlier this week and is out 2 to 4 weeks while he nurses that thumb back to health. So now Jim Boylan is forced with more difficult decisions to make when it comes to this front court rotation. In their first game without Wendell, he started Thad Young and slid Lowry to the five. Will he go back to that now that Gafford is unavailable, or will we gasp, see Luke Kornet get a start at center and keep Lowry at the four? I am, as of right now, midday Friday, I have not seen anything concrete as far as an announcement from Jim Boylan, any updates from Casey or anyone else on the beat as far as who will be starting in Gafford's place, in Wendell's place tonight. I wrote in my pecking order column that just dropped on NBCSportsChicago.com earlier today, one of a few things I'd like to see in the next 3 weeks leading up to the trade deadline is more minutes for Thad Young to showcase him, to actually trade him and get something useful for him, because clearly the experiment here has not worked out. We've seen him get a couple of nice games off the bench on Monday and Wednesday, 35 points in his past two games, actually playing his style of basketball. Finally, Jim Boylan allowing Thad Young to do what Thad Young does. I know that Lowry at the five defensively is a nightmare, but Kornet isn't much better if you stick with this defensive system. Kornet is a better shot blocker and rim protector than Lowry is when he is allowed to play in a drop coverage scheme or even a, you know, defensive zone scheme where essentially he's just manning the paint. And we have seen glimpses of Kornet be useful on the defensive end when he can be in that position. But so often, and especially early this season, and this is why Kornet was taken out of the rotation, you see Jim Boylan ask him to go out and do this, you know, this blitzing style of defense on the pick and rolls, and he's left completely exposed. The Bulls' defense is beaten by simply passing out of that trap double team on the pick, and Luke Kornet's out in no man's land. So in that sense, if Boylan continues to insist on playing this defense, I don't think the Markkanen versus Kornet drop-off at playing defense at the five is all that significant. So between that and honestly trying to get some kind of showcase for Thad Young over the next few weeks, to me it makes sense to start Thad Young, slide Lowry to the five, and, you know, just try a few different things with your rotation, but I would start there because, you know, Kornet playing 35 minutes on Wednesday night when Gafford went down 1 minute in, I'm sorry. I don't think that Cornette is deserving of 35 minutes on a night when Thad Young plays 21. Or, you know, even on a night when Lauri Markkanen plays 31. Ridiculous. So we'll see where the Bulls go tonight. And hopefully they can get another dynamic and dominant performance from Zach LaVine, who outdueled Bradley Beal. The Bulls win on Wednesday night. Another 30-point game. He's got five straight games of 25-plus points. First Bull to do that since Derrick Rose, all the way back in 2010. Zach playing at an all-star level right now needs more, you know, just gigantic scoring nights to really try and make a push. We did see in the third set of fan voting returns yesterday that he has now fallen from fifth place to sixth place in votes among Eastern Conference guards. So Zach's still trying to make that push and has been playing very well of late. I'm sure they will need a big night from him if they want any chance at beating Philly for that elusive second win of the season against a 500 team. Before we get to our mailbag content to lead you into your weekend, a quick word from our sponsors at MyBookie. Are you the type of sports fan that knows the games you love so well you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football playoff games, we got AFC and NFC championship games coming up on Sunday, the NBA, and the start of college basketball, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of sports fan who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. If you like a couple big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you're tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain, MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That's right. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate this offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's get to some mailbag content on a Friday episode. Let's kick things off with Daniel on Facebook, who says, please tell everyone on the show to vote for Zach. Obviously talking about the All-Star game. It's the only way we can save the season and show we have something decent on the team. Daniel continues, Boylan has to go yesterday. I agree. If we had a coach like Jason Kidd, this team would be over 500. Not sure I agree there. The rotations are terrible, for sure. The minutes for players, awful. Lauri, Denzel, Dunn, Archie, etc. Yep. The lack of ability to adjust. Yep. The playing scheme is embarrassing. Yep. Don't trade Zach, Lauri, Kobe, Denzel, Gafford, Wendell. And I still believe in Hutch. Go Bulls. Thanks for checking in, Daniel. I agree with a lot of what you had to say there. I don't necessarily think Jason Kidd in the head coach's chair is something that would put this team over 500. I think a different coach could have this team a more respectable record than 15-27, as we are just past the halfway point of the season. But over 500 is asking a lot based on the collective talent of this roster. Even assuming that Otto stayed healthy, Wendell stayed healthy, everybody stayed healthy, and players like Zach and Lauri and Wendell progressed and they got some use out of a rookie in Kobe White, that this was not a 500 team this year. Maybe an outside shot at the eighth seed in a weak Eastern Conference with a record that still was, you know, a handful of games short of 500. And I don't think as many flaws as Jim Boylan has, and there are lots of them, that regardless of... And I also don't think that Jason Kidd is a great head coach, for the record. You put, you know, whoever you want to say is the best coach in the NBA right now. Doc Rivers, Greg Popovich, maybe some people would say Mike Budenholzer, the way the Bucks are on this furious 70-win pace right now. You take any of them and you put them with this Bulls roster, maybe close to a 500 team. But I'm not calling that a guarantee. But I'm with you on your issues with the rotations. As far as players you don't want to see traded, I agree with Zach and Lowry. It's too early to trade them. I agree with Kobe and certainly Gafford. For now, I will also say that I would like to see them keep Wendell because I do believe that he has a higher ceiling if used properly. Denzel is clearly on his way out. I don't think he's a piece that you like have to keep. And as I mentioned earlier when talking about what Jim's going to do now that he's out Gafford as well as Wendell and talking about maybe starting Thad again, another piece of this next 3 week phase that I address in my pecking order for this week on NBCSportsChicago.com is playing Denzel. Much in the same way that you can play and showcase Thad Young, do the same for Denzel. He might actually help your team win some games in addition to showcasing his talent as a potential trade piece. Plenty of playoff-bound teams could find use for a solid three-point shooter off the bench. That's exactly the perfect role that Denzel is, but he can't show that to teams if he's sitting there getting DNPs on a night when Jim is playing Felicio and Archie and Shaq Harrison. Doesn't make any sense. But I think the Bulls' best interest now, based on what we are seeing, that they are very much out on Denzel and planning to move forward as opposed to, say, offering him a new contract as a restricted free agent this summer. Trade him. Get something for him. But before you do that, you got to play him. Thanks for checking in, Daniel. Let's go to our text line, 331-979-1369. This first one is in response to something I posed to our listeners earlier this week, talking about a conversation I was having with my Outsiders buddies, John Sabine and Big Dave Watson, with how frustrated the fan base is and how eager we are to get rid of John Paxson, and the fact that a most recent report from Casey Johnson suggests that even if there is a shakeup with the front office this offseason after this disappointing season, they still value John Paxson highly, and he will still be factored heavily into what new decisions they are making when it comes to basketball operations. And how frustrating that must have been for most of us Bulls fans to hear. And to that end, Sabine asking me, it seems that Paxson has a job for life because he hit the three, game six, 93. Bulls win the title over Chuck's Suns. If you take that championship away and assume that Paxson doesn't hit that shot and the Bulls lose game six and go on to lose game seven, and you're talking about a dynasty that's five rings instead of six, would you take that if you knew it also meant that this 17-year reign of terror under John Paxson didn't happen? And I said, in a heartbeat, yes, absolutely. So here is one of our listeners from the 630 saying, I would give up the 93 title. Barkley wins a ring. We still get a three-peat, 96 to 98, and Pax is not with us. There's also a chance we win a title with competent management in the 2000s and beyond. I agree with this texter. My buddy Big Dave said, absolutely not. I'm not giving away any of those rings. Rings are rings. And he thinks it would take away from the overall lore of that dynasty. Two neatly packaged three-peats in the span of 8 years, and I get that. And he said, I don't want to sacrifice a ring that I know we have for the potential maybe-ness of a ring under different management in the years since the dynasty broke up. I understand, but I feel the opposite. I'm not saying it's a certainty that this Bulls team under different management between 2003, when Pax took over for Krause, and now would have a title. But I also think there's a good shot that not only might they have won a different title with a different rebuild that went in a different direction or a more successful series of years of hiring the right coach and building the right rosters, making the right trades, landing the right free agents, that you might have a title or two in this 17-year span. And even if not, maybe you still get closer. Maybe you still have more seasons that are worth a damn. You had the Baby Bulls for a while in the mid-2000s. They, with a young Lou Wall and Kirk Heinrich and Ben Gordon and like that core, they upset the defending champion Heat. That was a lot of fun. But then that kind of faded. And then you get lucky, less than 2% odds lucky, land Derrick Rose, who turns into the youngest MVP the league's ever seen. And you get as far as game five in one conference final series. And that's it. In 17 years, That is it. I guess, you know, you could also say, well, they made it to round two a couple other times. 2013, without D-Rose, they beat Brooklyn in game seven, then get bounced by Miami again in five games in round two. 2015, kind of like the last gasp run with Jimmy and Rose and Joakim and those guys. You get to up game, you know, up 2-1, game three. D-Rose hits the buzzer beater in the second round against LeBron's Cleveland Cavaliers, and LeBron hits the game winner, game four. Games five and six go to Cleveland, and that's it. A couple of second rounds, one conference finals appearance, 17 years? I'll take that trade. I'll take the chances of maybe a title or two, and also maybe some better, deeper playoff runs. Getting closer. 17 years and one conference finals appearance? It's not good enough. And I still would have loved every second of the dynasty, even if you take away one of them. So I am with that texter who says, absolutely, I'll take that trade. Here's one from the 217. Bulls fans, join me at All-Star Weekend and wear FireGar PAX gear. Maybe if there's enough of us, he'll be embarrassed enough to do it. Doug Collins and Chris Fleming can finish the season as interims and hopefully make a Theo Epstein-like hire and fix this organization finally. I doubt it will happen, but I can dream. P.S. My Bulls-loving wife wants Becky Hammon as the next coach. Thoughts? Thanks for checking in. Hey, if you want to go, you know, walk around downtown Chicago and or the, you know, United Center on the west side with a bunch of FireGar PAX gear. And by gear, I assume you mean, like, I know that people print FireGar PAX t-shirts. Are there also, like, FireGar PAX hats, scarves, flags, towels? I don't know. There have been a couple of, you know, like, Bulls Reddit tried to organize a couple of nights for nationally televised home games in recent years where, you know, everybody wear your FireGar PAX t-shirts. And, you know, to my memory, I think most of them kind of were unsuccessful. They kind of, you know, faded. Nobody really got a shot of them. It certainly wasn't like an overwhelming, let's storm the UC, everybody wear your FireGar PAX shirts. It wasn't that organized and not executed that successfully. The Bulls are very, very protective and very thin-skinned when it comes to this kind of shit. We all know that. You know, it was funny to hear Paxson react to the billboard that went up on the, you know, the GoFundMe that my co-host Jordan donated to. And I kind of made fun of him saying, hey, man, you're wasting your money. Sure, it's fun to see them embarrassed like that, even though they pretended they weren't. But what do you think? A billboard's going to actually get them fired? No, because when it comes to the eyes of Jerry Reinsdorf, John Paxson, job for life, loyal to a fault. Billboard won't change that. Wearing FireGar PAX gear at the All-Star Weekend won't change that. And by the way, you might get booted out by security if they spot you. Just the other day, I want to say it was for one of their home games last week. There was, somebody tweeted at me, and I got a chuckle out of it. There was a guy behind the pregame set for our NBC Sports crew with Jason and Kendall and Will, who could audibly be heard saying from the background directly into the camera, FireGar PAX, and that fan was promptly escorted out. So, if you want to give it a try, go for it. I think the thing that might finally get the attention and force the Reinsdorfs to change is something that we're seeing happening this season, finally. And that is, not only is it another underwhelming season where the people that they've put in charge to run their basketball team are failing to put a good product on the floor, but it's finally a fan base that is sending them a message to say enough is enough. And, of course, I'm talking specifically about the Bulls' home game percentage of capacity filled that has fallen all the way down to like the 22, 23 range, I want to say, the last time I checked, which is catastrophically bad for a team in this market with this loyal of a fan base that has always been leading the league or very close to leading the league in not only the attendance, which again is just a marker of tickets sold, but actual percentage of capacity, which is butts in seats, bodies through turnstiles. They've fallen all the way into the 20s. Crowds at home games are low. crowd volume and engagement at home games are low. It's like, you know, quieter than a church mouse and the UC most nights. And that will certainly hurt the pockets of the Reinsdorfs, and that might be the final thing to get their attention. And maybe it is why we are starting to hear that changes finally might be on the way. As for Becky Hammon, absolutely. Would love that. Would love the Bulls to be the first team to put a woman in the head coach's chair. We do know the Bulls are one of a number of NBA teams that have added women coaches to their coaching staff. Karen Stack-Umloff, who's been with the team for a number of years, who was a couple years ago promoted to be an assistant coach on that Bulls bench. As for, you know, whether or not Becky Hammon is realistic hire, if she were willing to take a meeting, the Bulls should absolutely reach out and make that meeting this summer if they decide wisely to go in a different direction than Jim Boylan. But who knows? Maybe she is hoping that that opportunity comes in San Antonio and is willing to wait out Greg Popovich saying, all right, I've had my good run and I'm going to go, you know, retire. And now there's the other interesting factor of maybe Tim Duncan, who has been added to Greg Popovich's staff as an assistant. Maybe does Tim Duncan want to take that head coaching job, or is that too much for him? And if so, would there be a public outcry of Tim Duncan, retired for a few years, comes on, joins Pop's staff for half a season, and then, you know, when it is time for Pop to step away, people see Duncan as leapfrogging Becky Hammon because the job should have been hers. So a couple of different, you know, factors to juggle there. But as far as, you know, do I respect Becky Hammon and the career she's had and her knowledge of basketball? Absolutely. In particular, testimony of a former Bull who has been in this NBA a long time and has had a lot of success, multi-time champion, played for a lot of different organizations. I'm talking Pau Gasol. In his run with the Spurs, has said that, like, even as a 35, 36, or however old year veteran Pau is, he learned things from Becky Hammon that he learned from no other NBA coach or assistant coach. That's a pretty solid endorsement from a dude who has been coached by a lot of people over a very long and very successful NBA career. So I'm on board. It's just a matter of whether or not the Bulls are interested and could get that meeting. Speaking of meetings, today's show is also brought to you by VisitArizona.com. Winter meetings are over and spring training is right around the corner. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams, whether you're a Cubs fan or a Sox fan, to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home for baseball fans. You can follow your favorite team to 10 different stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, and the best part for you Chicagoans, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another. You can meet the players, get their autographs before the games, and that's not all. There's so much to do and see nearby. Check out amazing restaurants and bars, tons of craft breweries included, like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. You can enjoy live music from local and national artists and explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And for all you families out there, bringing the kids along to spring training is a must. Arizona's a fantastic destination for families and kids. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, water parks, horseback rides to games and activities. Tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your family's spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. All right, we'll take a couple more pieces of mailbag, and then we'll get out of here for the weekend. This is an email that just came through my inbox as I'm sitting here recording, and it is fantastic. So I'm going to read it for you real quick. This comes to us from Brett. The Bulls are now deeply entrenched with the Knicks, Kings, and Suns as one of the foremost undesirable franchises for the leading players, agents, coaches, and executives. While the other three owners constant meddling and subsequent mismanagement of their day-to-day operations is the underlying reason for their position, they have at least done so whilst attempting to improve. The Bulls ownership, however, seems far more focused on profit over play. Since Paxton has been in charge of operations, the Bulls franchise has grown in value from an estimated $323 million, now being valued at approximately $2.9 billion. However, during that same period, the Bulls have only paid the luxury tax twice for a total of $8.1 million. Paxton is not going anywhere. Like Boylan is for him, he is a shield for ownership and the worst kind of Muppet, one who would sacrifice his own reputation and legacy for personal profit. The Reinsdorfs have repeatedly said they'll spend money when they have a team worthy of having money spent on it. However, in recent years, the Bulls have gone as far as selling picks or opting for cash considerations over draft compensation, which only reduces their assets to make greater moves and instead puts money straight into the owners' pockets. In over 20 years of following basketball, I've seen once-mired teams like the Clippers, Mavericks, Warriors, and Bucks become relevant. However, only once there has been a change in ownership and philosophy. Local fans have tried to voice this displeasure through the Fireguard PAX billboard. Hey, we were just talking about that. And in recent times, a drop in attendance. We were just talking about that, too. But due to the irrelevance of the Bulls, it has not garnered much national attention. However, the upcoming All-Star Game in Chicago provides the perfect platform for disgruntled fans to voice their disdain to both a national and international audience. I would love to see a chant of "sell the team" reverberating around the arena during the height of the All-Star Game. This would be the cover story of the event and embarrass the franchise owners for embarrassing its fans and perhaps finally instigating change. Thank you, Brett, for this email. This, to me, is a fan who understands, big picture-wise, what is wrong with his organization. Valuing, and this is the key phrase, profit over play. And pointing out that they always say, hey, if we got a team worth paying the tax for, we'll pay the tax. Well, you know, put your money where your mouth is. You haven't really done that. And I also like the fact that, you know, he references other organizations who have turned things around, but only with a change in ownership and or management, bringing in new philosophies. The Bulls are laughed at for being so behind the times and stuck in their ways. This incestuous, nepotism-based organization that's built on blind loyalty and loyalty to a fault. Brett gets it. And this is the main issue with what I have when Bulls fans come at me and hate on me for hating on the idea of bringing Derrick Rose back. I was just getting into an argument with somebody on Twitter the other day who was like, I can't believe you don't want Derrick Rose back. And, you know, of course, you know, my guy Kendall Gill gives me plenty of grief for it, you know, going back and forth. Hey, you see what Derrick Rose did tonight? It's all fun and good. But here's the issue. Because this one Bulls fan that I was engaging with on Twitter yesterday was saying, like, Derrick would bring electricity back to the United Center. Give the Bulls actual home court advantage again. We haven't had that in a while. You know, put some faith back in the franchise. Bringing Derrick back would do that. Okay, you're not wrong, but you have to zoom out and look at the bigger picture. What would you rather have? Derrick Rose signed by the Bulls this offseason, and he is here instead of, say, Tomas Satoransky, and maybe his presence has the Bulls a couple of wins higher. But guess what? Jim Boylan's still your head coach. Lauri Markkanen has still regressed. Otto's still hurt. Wendell's still hurt. Derrick, instead of Sato, does not get this team into the playoffs. Maybe you disagree with that, but I am firmly of the belief that Derrick, by himself, does not change how royally fucked up this organization is right now. But he'd get butts in the seats again. That's not a good thing. In my opinion, that's not a good thing. If the Bulls ownership and management gave the Rose stands and Bulls fans who are clamoring for a Rose comeback what they want, then you're letting them win. As Brett points out, man, real change only happens when you start at the top. And it's finally working, as I was just talking about. The United Center is finally emptying out after all these years of the fan base threatening, oh, I'll stop spending my money on the Bulls if you don't fire our packs. Hey, here's this billboard. Let's embarrass our management. okay, they're still making money hand over fist. They're still raking in the cash all the time every night. Except this season, finally, empty seats galore at the United Center. Quiet at the United Center. And it has a direct effect on the pockets of the Reinsdorfs. If they sign Derrick Rose and Bulls fans come flooding back, ownership is like, oh, butts and seats? People buying up Derrick Rose jerseys again? People buying a shit ton of Bulls merch? Packed houses every night? Great. Don't have to change a thing. You're duping the fan base. For all of you who are so stuck in the past and obsessed with the Derrick Rose years, and again, I don't fault you for it, especially if you're young enough that that is the best part of the Bulls that you can recall. If you're not old enough to remember the glory years of MJ and the dynasty as I am, I get that that's the best that you have to hold on to and that nostalgia is very powerful. But you're letting them win if you say, that's what I want. Bring Derrick Rose back and I'll come back. No. Bringing Derrick Rose back and filling the United Center up again would only let the Reinsdorfs ignore the bigger problems that they have, which is that they need to clean house. And if, you know, we're being honest as fans, they would never do it. But what they should do is sell the team because they suck at running a basketball team. They're great at making money. They suck at running a basketball team. But even still, if they refuse to sell, at the very least, finally taking a hit in their wallets would be the one thing to get their attention. And it's finally starting to happen. You dupe fans who just want a Rose comeback into coming back into the United Center, and those eyes that are starting to look at empty seats and lost dollars suddenly don't have to worry. Suddenly say, oh, you know what? No, we're fine. Pax, you're doing fine. Gar, doing fine. Everybody, doing fine. Making money. Brett understands the big picture here. As far as his idea of starting a sell the team chant, you know, I was just taking a texture from somebody else who said, hey, let's all wear FireGuard Pax gear to All-Star Weekend. And Brett took it up a notch saying, hey, let's start a sell the team chant. Unfortunately, for all of us here in Chicago and all of us Bulls fans, it's not that easy to get into All-Star Weekend. It's not easy to get tickets to, and it's one of the issues that Reinsdorf has been on the record saying he doesn't like it because the NBA comes in and takes a huge percentage of tickets of all kinds for every night of All-Star Weekend's festivities and disperses them to channels that they want to disperse them to. So the home team, the host city, doesn't actually get to fill the stadium with their fans. Sorry to burst your bubble if you didn't know that, but it's not like the United Center on All-Star Sunday night is going to be filled with Bulls fans. No. It's going to be filled with elite NBA fans from around the country who were lucky enough to get tickets from players who get to All-Star Weekend and the NBA who give tickets out to those companies and individuals they deem worthy. So that might be a little hiccup in your plan right there. Bulls fans are not just going to storm the United Center for All-Star Weekend because they can't get tickets. And to his credit, that's something that Jerry Reinsdorf has been on record saying he doesn't like about hosting All-Star Weekend. He would prefer that it's something that, you know, his season ticket holders get to experience and enjoy. And you know, the other fans of his team that are here in this city should enjoy. But the NBA takes over. The host city does not have much say as far as what goes on All-Star Weekend. All right, one more and then we'll get out of here. This is a text from the 773. Do you think the Bulls should trade Denzel and Thaddeus Young to Cleveland for Kevin Love and a draft pick? So I was just talking earlier about the fact that the Bulls should play, showcase, and then trade both Denzel and Thaddeus. So this Bulls fan is at least you know, on the nose there with what this team should be doing between now and the trade deadline, February 6th. This particular hypothetical, I don't know what you're smoking. In what world do the Cavs say yes to that? Yeah, Kevin Love is on a big contract and is unhappy, and they're probably desperate to trade him, and he's doing everything he can to let them know, hey, like, get me out of here. But Denzel and Thaddeus for Kevin Love and a draft pick? Are you saying that the Bulls get Kevin Love and a draft pick from Cleveland for Denzel and Thaddeus Young? Because that's absurd. No. The Bulls would have to throw in their draft pick for that. Kevin Love is still, yeah, he's getting a little old, but he's a quality player. Denzel and Thaddeus does not make up enough for Kevin Love in a both teams deem this to be fair trade, and certainly not with throwing a Cavs pick towards the Bulls in that scenario. And then also from the same 773 texter, another hypothetical, do you think there's a possible trade package revolving around Wendell Carter, Thad Young, Chris Dunn to the Pistons for Andre Drummond and D. Rose? Ah, of course, had to throw D. Rose in there too. So, you know, like Kevin Love, Andre Drummond, another name that's been, you know, circling around trade rumors as we get closer to that deadline. We did see another trade go down just a couple days ago between Minnesota and Atlanta. Nothing big. Jeff Teague and Alan Crabb switching teams. But I don't think the Bulls are going to trade Wendell this season. I think that they're still very much so trying to see what they have in him. And it's unfortunate that now in his each of his first two seasons, he's suffered a significant injury. Only played half his rookie year. We'll see if he comes back after this high ankle sprain that is supposed to shelve him for 4 to 6 weeks. I would not be surprised if Wendell doesn't come back given the Bulls' record. And the fact that them turning things around and fighting and making a push for the playoffs seems very unlikely at this point. Again, Thaddeus Young is certainly a piece the Bulls should be shopping right now. Chris Dunn is an interesting one because he was on the trading block this offseason. The Bulls found no takers for him. He's bought into his role, really put an emphasis on being an elite defensive player, struggling from the three-point line, of course, but has, you know, to his credit, done decently this season. I think the Dunn hype is a little overrated. There are some crazy Dunn stands out there. But maybe the Bulls are reevaluating whether or not they want him to be a piece of this team moving forward. He is also on an expiring rookie contract. Do the Bulls try and keep him on a reasonable contract? Does Chris Dunn get offers from multiple teams? Does he sign an offer sheet that the Bulls feel comfortable matching? And what might that figure be? You know, it'll certainly depend on what the Bulls financially have to work with this offseason. Not a lot of wiggle rooms. Otto's picking up that option. You know he is. They still got another year of Felicio on the books coming up next season. So maybe the Bulls are rethinking whether or not they want to keep Chris Dunn and how they might make that happen. Or maybe they're happy with the way he showcased his abilities and do still like the idea of trading him and getting a piece for him. As far as Drummond and Rose, I don't know if that is an enticing enough package for the Pistons. I feel like I say this a lot, and I hate to just shoot down trades that y'all send into us because I enjoy hypothetical trade talk, especially this time of year. But, I, you know, and look, maybe Bulls fans are all guilty of this, and it's something that the organization is also guilty of. They're overvaluing the pieces that they have. Andre Drummond is a 2020 monster. And Derrick Rose, to his credit, has made a nice comeback this season and is playing well. He's, you know, he's just gotten a couple of starts recently because that team is shorthanded, but for the most part, he's been like a 20.6 assist guy off the bench on a pretty team-friendly deal. That's valuable. He and Drummond both are more valuable than certainly Thaddeus Young and Chris Dunn. Wendell, still on a rookie deal, still with some serious potential, younger than Drummond by a significant amount, is maybe the most valuable piece there in that entire trade, but he's hurt right now. Much harder to trade a hurt player than a healthy player. And because of Jim Boylan's system, yeah, Wendell has shown what he could do defensively and is already miles ahead of his age as far as his IQ and his versatility of skills on the defensive end, but is still so limited offensively. We were hoping to see an offensive explosion from Wendell this year. It didn't happen. So yeah, maybe of all these pieces involved, Wendell has the highest remaining ceiling. But right now, Drummond is a borderline all-star caliber player. Wendell is not. Wendell is also not healthy. And Thaddeus Young, to his credit for being, you know, quality veteran, role player guy, that's a valuable piece for a team that's headed towards the playoffs. The Pistons are not. So I'm not sure that that offer, especially as several teams out there are interested in Drummond and or Rose, which I would assume they would be, again, playoff-bound teams, that the Pistons would look at the Bulls' offer and be all that enticed by it. This particular offer of our texter saying Wendell, Thad, and Dunn. But, nonetheless, keep those trade hypotheticals coming. We will talk about, I'm sure, plenty of Bulls hypothetical trades as we get closer. Of course, keep an eye on anything regarding Thad Young, Denzel Valentine, and perhaps Chris Dunn, if the Bulls are still open to the idea of trading him after the way he has showcased his defensive skills as a quality, you know, bench role player guy coming, you know, coming in for a playoff bound team who could use some defense. So I think that's it for today. Appreciate everybody checking in via email, via Facebook, and our text and voicemail line. Once again, that number 331-979-1369. Keep it coming. We'll try and get some more mailbag content early next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We got a Bulls back-to-back. We got Sixers tonight, and we got Cavs on Saturday. Have a great weekend. Stay warm out there. We will talk to you on Monday. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com